Welcome to another Purple and Bold podcast from the Daily News Record, this time from Bridge Forest Stadium. I'm Shane Metlin here with Katie Harper. We just watched a JMU spring game here in front of a good crowd, lively crowd, a lot of people tailgating early in the day, getting to the stadium. Just overall, I think a completely different vibe for spring game, spring football than people have seen the last 4 years or so at JMU. Katie, your just overall impressions so far, basically, on the event, and then we'll get into what we saw from the players and coaches as the day went on.
Yeah, it was pretty much, I think, about as perfect of a spring game, weather-wise, as you could have hoped for. And I think you saw that in the turnout, too. Again, it's a spring game. You're not always going to have a really, really big pull to get people out for it. But I think with the lead-up of everything and how Chesney had talked about it, I think it did lead up or live up to what he was expecting. The band was lively. The fans were lively. The two raffle winners who got to be a coach for the day were having fun out on the field. And I think it really showed, and it showed at times too with the competition periods, that the players were really having a good time and really just enjoying this last little chance to play some football before there's a bit of a layoff before the fall season starts.
Yeah, and I think back to last year's spring game, and the thing that jumps out at me is I don't remember much about it. It was just kind of like, we got our first look at, Jordan McLeod. That was a big thing quarterback-wise. There were some things on the field, but, like, you don't remember it as an event. And really, you know, the vibe afterwards was kind of like, you know, among the coaches and everything else was kind of just like, this was something we had to do. We would have rather had, like, a regular practice where we don't have to invite everybody in here, but it's something we kind of had to do. And completely different atmosphere here where everybody was having a lot of fun. Chesney obviously loved the opportunity to get his people in front of everyone. And, you know, they do different things all throughout the day. Like, you know, JMU was promoting this as, like, an entire day's worth of events. With the puppy pound kids on the field before them with their, you know, helping warm up and do combine exercises, everything else, to now, they're encouraging people to go over to the baseball game, and new basketball coach Preston Spradlin is going to be there again. And it just turned into like a whole kind of a festival atmosphere, way more so than we've seen in previous years.
I think it does also show just kind of the point in JMU history that this athletic program is in right now. To be able to, you know, have a good lacrosse game that was before the spring game started, to then come over here and, like you said, have the new basketball coach being introduced, and then you have the new athletic director being introduced, and then you have Jeff Bourne, who's in his final few, honestly, weeks, days with the program, becoming an honorary JMU alumnus. You have all of the celebration, and it's a really unique period in JMU sports history, and I think to be able to have a spring game with a new coaching staff and a bunch of new players, I think that really does help just foster and create a great environment that we saw out there today.
Yeah, and we haven't even mentioned the band being out here. Just all of it, like, made it feel more like I said, you know, last year it felt like they would have rather just had a practice and not had to go through all the rigmarole. This year they wanted it to feel like something like a game and something that got people excited. And, you know, I went to the Board of Visitors meeting yesterday, and I thought, you know, Bob Chesney had like one of the best quotes I'd heard in a long time when he said, you know, we've played really, really good football here. We've gained a lot of support. We've accepted a lot of support. We haven't done as good a job of giving that support back to the community. And this just kind of felt like some of that, where they were like, we're going to give them something today. This isn't just like, you know, we're blessing you with our presence, letting you come watch us. So they really wanted to give something to the fans today.
I mean, they had the fans on the field after the game too for autograph signings, and really just a chance for, I don't even know how many autographs were actually signed down there. It was kind of just a giant pool of people having a chance to even just say hi to some of these players that in a few months are going to be on maybe some nationally televised games, that they're going to be making big plays. So I think it just really allowed JMU fans to not only see what the football product is, because obviously it's a football team, they need to be good at it, but it also allowed them to see kind of who they are off the field and who they will be off the field, and the fact that, you know, Bob Chesney is really opening up this program to them to make sure that they feel connected to the players that they're cheering for every week.
Yeah, and, you know, you talk about the players that they're going to cheer for every week, we got our first glimpse at some of those guys, our first, you know, real look at them, game speed and everything else. So I guess let's just start off. We'll start with the quarterbacks because that's, you know, something everybody wants to talk about is quarterback play. Dylan Morris started the game, and I think, you know, not any surprise, he comes up and talks to us afterwards. He's the guy at quarterback. And I don't know if we saw anything that really, like, stood out today from him, but I think, you know, once again, just another signal that, yes, this is the guy who's, unless something really drastically changes, is going to start the opener.
I will say one thing that stood out to me, and it wasn't necessarily anything about his play, and I asked him about it after the game. It was, I had looked down at one point, and J.C. Evans, the freshman who should still be in high school right now, had just gone out, and he didn't have necessarily, I think, a drive he would have wanted to have. And he's standing there with Dylan Morris, and Dylan's pointing some things out to him. You can tell that they're talking about the game, and he's pointing things on the field and just explaining it to him. And I think that was what kind of stood out to me today about Dylan Morris, is how much knowledge he has about the college game after spending so long at Washington and then coming to JMU, and his willingness to stand there and teach a kid who, again, should be in high school right now and is still trying to get adjusted to this level of a game and this style of play. And I think that just really shows to what he can bring off the field as well as on it in a couple months.
Yeah, and beyond Morris, we'll continue to talk about quarterbacks because, you know, we get what might be a little bit of a look at the depth chart potentially where it stands. They're carrying five quarterbacks right now on scholarship. They played six today. That's a difference from last year where they had four quarterbacks on scholarship, and that was kind of Cignetti throughout his time. Four scholarship quarterbacks was kind of, you know, where they wanted to be. So that'll be interesting, I think, to see if anything changes along those lines. But I haven't gotten any glimpse or any hint or anything of any particular quarterback that might be moving on. So that's interesting. But we'll go through like the depth chart. It seems like Alonzo Barnett's clear number two at this point, based on everything you've seen throughout spring practice and we saw today. He looks like the clear number two, and he looked good. I mean, especially running the ball and making his decision making, things like that. I think it looked pretty strong for him as the number two guy.
There were a few points with Barnett specifically with how the spring game's set up. Obviously, you don't want your quarterback taking any hits. So as soon as they're tagged, they're down. So I think in a real game setting, there were a few times Barnett probably would have gotten into the end zone if it was a normal game. And so I think you really saw his ability to make those quick snap judgments, quarterback keeper several times, and he went for a while on the ground running. So I think, and like you said, I had seen him throughout the spring practices. He really is looking like a really, 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 really strong number two option for them at quarterback.
Yeah, and I think, you know, he played well last year. He in preseason practice and earned that starting job, and then had a rough go of it in the opener and lost a job and really never got back on the field much after that. I think he needed a confidence boost this spring with a new staff and a lot of new pieces around him, and it seems like he got that, and he played with confidence today.
He did, and I think it is one of those things, like you said, that sometimes, whether it be you're transferring out to find a new staff or a new staff in this situation is coming in, and sometimes it's just, maybe it is someone like a Dean Kennedy coming in. He's the offensive coordinator and the quarterback's coach, and he sees one thing wrong with Barnett's game. He's like, hey, you can fix this, and that really can be what just kind of spurs him into a good stretch of playing football. And so I think, especially to have another good spring season with an experienced veteran above him to maybe help him out a little bit, I think this is a quarterback that can really, really develop well.
Yeah, so Barnett looking like number two. Billy Atkins, another returner, another, you know, getting to be a veteran guy at this point, who has some game experience, been forced into some game experience here over the past couple of years. He looks, I mean, he's the third guy on the field. I mean, are we thinking, okay, this means he's number three on the depth chart right now?
Yeah, I would say probably looking at him being the number three guy, but at the same time, you do have to keep in mind that there is a player like J.C. Evans who could make some jumps in this late into the summer and heading into the fall to maybe jump up to that number three guy, because, like we've said, he's
should be in high school right now. So the more time he gets, I think the size that he brings and just kind of that sheer athleticism could propel him up the depth chart a little bit.
Yeah, and okay, you mentioned Evans. Let's just talk about the rest of the guys. Then Evans gets in as the kind of the number four guy. Brett Griffiths, the other scholarship quarterback, he plays less. He doesn't get in until later in the day. And Blake Kendall gets a little bit. He's a walk-on who's now, you know, been in the program for a little while, but hasn't gotten any game action. So we see all of those guys. I don't know if the order that they ended up playing makes a huge difference at this point, but when it comes to J.C. Evans, like you said, he's kind of a striking physical presence out there. He's a big guy.
Yeah,
he's
big
tall.
Guy.
He's got long legs when he takes off to run. I think he's got a big arm. You know, still looks a little raw, but I mean, definitely some flashes of why they wanted this kid when they went ahead and signed him this offseason.
Yeah, no, I know a lot of fans are excited about him, and they should be, because he does have a lot of upside, I think. But I think you do need to kind of tap the brakes just a little bit and remember how young he is, and maybe you shouldn't expect to see him on a depth chart in the next couple of months. I think it's one of those that it's going to take some time for his name to show up there. And I think it will be a good thing that it takes the time.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the interesting thing is we see all six of these quarterbacks. We see, you know, even Brett Griffiths, who's a Power 5 transfer into this program, now in his second year at JMU, looks like he's probably, if you go off today, number 5, as far as, you know, the guy who got in fifth. He looks good. He looks solid. We didn't see much. A couple guys got a chance to throw it deep, but we didn't get a real chance to see like much of their arms today. I don't think. But that probably is more of a sign of what the offense is going to look like compared to the last couple of years. That maybe we're going to – maybe it's going to be a little bit more methodical, running oriented, things like that. But quarterback play, I think, you know, you probably give it a solid B+ today, and you know, don't go into the season with too many worries there.
Yeah, I don't think we saw everything that I think they could be planning for this quarterback room, especially because, like you said, we didn't see him throw it go deep a ton. I would still say one of the best throws of the day was from Taji Hudson, your wide receiver. So it's an interesting one to keep an eye out right now on the quarterback room, because I think it's definitely one that I think they're still trying to fit the pieces in right and figure out what they have exactly.
Yeah, so among the topics of conversation when Bob Chesney came up here after the game and you know, talked to the media a little bit, was, you mentioned J.C. Evans, a young guy who could be in high school right now. He's out there playing. He wasn't the only one. There were several guys who came early for spring ball. Chase Regan, one of them, Keelan Flo. Those were a couple of guys that kind of stood out to a lot of people, got mentioned. But, you know, interesting that Chesney took a lot of time to discuss, I guess, maybe his appreciation of those guys who were able to graduate early, who were able to come and, as he said, you know, sacrifice the end of their high school senior year where they're typically big man on campus and there's a lot of exciting stuff. And, you know, maybe you don't have a whole lot of worries in your life when you're a big time athlete on high school campus. And they came here to be the low man on the totem pole, but are also like making an impact so far.
Yeah. You know, when he was talking about it too, I was thinking about my senior year, and I remember second semester, and it's a great time. It's that last little bit of time to hang out with your friends. But at the same time, now that JMU is at the FBS level, You need players like that are willing to give up that time to go and be in a college environment and get ready to play. That it's something that happens across the FBS. So those big schools, they're getting a lot of guys in, and they're getting them in at January to get them accustomed to the level of play. And so if JMU wants to be successful or continue their success at the FBS level, those are players that you need. And will they see the field their freshman year? Maybe not. But just having their presence at practice right away is just going to help them develop into players that in a year or two can make a difference, whether it be on offense or defense.
Yeah, and like you said, you know, whether they play a lot or much at all, this this year, hard to say, but then, you know, you go into that sophomore year and, you know, after your freshman year, you're now getting ready for your second spring. It's almost like you've gotten kind of like a bonus year without having to redshirt or do anything like that. And, you know, it does make a big difference for the program to have that many guys in here. And we did get a look at them. And like I said, you know, Chase Regan's a guy who I think maybe statistically, I don't know a whole lot showed up, but just like Chesney pointed out, is a guy who looks very confident and comfortable knowing where he's supposed to be on the field right now.
And leading the defense too. He said that he's kind of out there at times quarterbacking it. And Chesney had told us on Thursday after the last practice, and this is kind of wrapping in how important having those young guys willing to come to campus early are, is Chesney brought up that the NCAA has kind of created a period of time right now where there's very little roster stability with the transfer portal. So having those guys, you never know what could happen because of the transfer portal that they may need to make a difference on defense or on offense earlier than I think anybody could have expected. So to have them here now is just going to be beneficial, maybe come October, November, when things could start piling up injury-wise.
Yeah. You know, a couple other things I think stood out is running game looks solid. They broke off some big ones. George Pettaway, he gets a touchdown, the UNC transfer in here, you know, making an impact right away. He showed his speed, I think, you know, on that one long run in particular. Definitely, I think, noteworthy that Solomon Van Horst looked good, looked solid. Did not look like anything was wrong with his foot at this point.
No, not only did he look good playing, I was watching him on the sideline during compete periods. I think he was stirring the pot with the defense. He was running around. He was staying engaged, and he was having a lot of fun, it seemed like. So I think he's definitely one that I think is going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, and in particular, I think it just, you know, stood out to me because when he got hurt last year, you know, amongst the people who kind of like hang around, whether it be media or other people who hang around or kind of on the sidelines for practices or whatever at times, like just a lot of the thought was like, man, he got hurt again, like another surgery. He's been here for 4 years. Like, you know, will he even come back? Like, I mean, will he like be kind of like a medical retirement type of situation? And he was back today and looks good. And you hope that he stays healthy just for his sake, because, you know, he can help this team and a guy who's been through a lot.
And I will say, too, about Pettaway, what I noticed with him early was the success that JMU was able to find using him in the pass game, too. And so I think when you have these running backs that can be used in so many different facets, I think that the hopes of JMU fans about this run game should be high, especially after what was a 2023 season that I think was pretty lackluster from what they wanted and expected.
Yeah, I mean, really, we thought it was going to be a deep running back room going in, but nobody like jumped out and kind of took control as being that feature back the way Percy did the year before, or some other guys have done in the past. And then with the injuries mounting up, you know, guys like Solomon and stuff, like they just ended up not having the depth they had. I think it's going to be a completely different situation with the running game this year. It looks like they're going to rely on that. They've got a lot of guys who can carry the ball. I mean, we haven't talked about Tyler Purdy, who they don't even list as an athlete, but, you know, he was in the backfield today.
Tyler Purdy.
Making some plays. You know, another a Holy Cross guy who came here with Bob Chesney and that staff. Seems like a guy who's going to get some opportunities to do different things. You know, really, just what else stood out to you? We haven't talked a ton about the defense.
The defense was definitely a weird one today because they played well, I think. But there wasn't that one guy that I think maybe stood out among the rest, which is something that I think people have become used to with the JMU defense, is you have a guy like Jalen Green. He's just the guy at times. And obviously it's only spring ball, so it would be a little weird to maybe have that right now. But I would say as a unit, they played well. I think you may still want to see a guy or two really kind of step up and make it that star-studded group. And you never know, you could get a guy like Jacob Dobbs very easily, could be that guy come fall time. So It was a good unit. I mean, they were leading the spring game with the way they do scoring up until the last play where the offense got a two-point conversion. But I would say they looked good.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, you look down this roster right now, you're looking at it, there's, you know, Torres Jones, DeAngelo Pons, Chauncey Logan, Trent Hendrick. Those are just the first four guys on the roster. And none of them really, like, you know, made any, like, incredible plays today or anything. I don't even know if they were on the field that much because there's a lot of substitutions and stuff. Jacob Dobbs. There's a lot of names on here that you know you can count on going forward, you know, by the time the fall rolls around. But, yeah, nobody – it just wasn't one of those games where, like, anybody's, like, making a pick six and, you know, obviously not going to have any, like, crazy sacks because if you touch the quarterback, they're down and things like that. So I don't know if the way the game was set up, it was designed for a lot of defensive standouts. But, you know, then you look down the roster, though, and I don't think there's a ton of concern defensively either, particularly not with the first unit, maybe the first and second string. They're probably going to want to add some depth here because, I mean,
You lose Tyreek Tucker in the last week to the portal. Yeah. They're definitely going to be looking to get some guys in the door.
Yeah. I mean, it's when you look at they have a split on the roster, offense, defense. There's just not as many guys on the defensive side of it. They're going to want to add some depth. But, you know, I don't know there was a whole lot to take away from the defense. That's probably why we ended up talking about them as much.
I will also say we should talk quickly about the special teams. I will say they looked good today. Didn't see them a ton.
Yeah.
Every field goal attempt made it in, so that was a good one. I forget what the long was. There was one that was a decently long one, so I know it's kind of a changing period for the special teams unit outside of Ryan Hansen. He is back, but they looked good and they looked solid at times too.
Yeah. Well, we'll go ahead and wrap it up unless you got anything else. One last thought, any other thing that jumped out at you as far as, you know, what we saw today?
I was just going to give my favorite part of the spring game because I asked Bob Chesney about it too. It was 100% the big man catching contest. I think that needs to be all the time. And the celebration from Emmanuel Bush running it down the field and diving into the end zone was great. And as Chesney said, post game was not supposed to happen. They were supposed to see who could get three catches first. But when Emmanuel Bush got that first one, it was all over when he was running down to the opposite end of the field.
Yeah, well, you know, pregame last year, I always like noted that tight end, the big tight end, Kai Wright, was one of the guys who would warm up catching punts. I was waiting all year to see him do that. Now I'm changing my mind. I want Emmanuel Bush to get a chance to do it for real because he can catch it. He proved he can catch it.
He can catch
it. Let's see what happens if he gets a little ahead of steam.
I was going to say, he can catch it, and I don't know many football players that would want to try and tackle him when he's running at them. So
yeah, so that's a perfect way to end this. A little bit of... perfect way to wrap up this kind of bonus episode of the Purple and Bold podcast, right from the spring game from Bridgeforth Stadium. And I'm Shane Metlin, been here with Katie Harper, and thank you for tuning in.